all the chapters has 22 verses except chapter 3, which has 66 verses. The reason being because in the Hebrew, they have only 22 letters in their alphabet. In the English, we have 26 alphabets, A to Z. In the Hebrew, they only have 22. In the Greek, they have Alpha to Omega, English A to Z. The Hebrew form of A that we know it, the first alphabet to the last is 22. A to Z, or in British they say Z. And each one of those chapters, in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, when Jeremiah was lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem, he used a very systematic flow of the Hebrew alphabet. It will be just like our Lord God, look what we have done. B, behold the destruction of your daughter Jerusalem. C, cannot we come to you again? D, do look upon us and have mercy upon us. E, entreat your people again. All, each verse follows one alphabet. So if we had the chance to read it in Hebrew, you would notice it was in chapter 1, it was A to C. And 22 alphabets in the Hebrew, that is not in the English. And then chapter 2, the same way. He go A, B, C, D, E, F in each verse. Then in chapter 3, they go in triplets, which is why it has 66. So the first three are the Hebrew form of the first letter, which would be equivalent to A for us. And the second three from 4 to 6, verse 4 to 6, would be like B in the English, C, etc. And the fifth one, although it has 22 verses, fifth chapter, 22 verses, but there is a slight difference there. It does not strictly follow the A to Z pattern in all the others. Now, having seen the basic structure of the book of Lamentations, what does this book hold for us? This book brings to us the depths of God's heart that we need to know. The depths of God's heart. The central theme of this book is chapter 3. Chapter 3 holds chapter 1 and 2 and chapter 4 and 5 together. Chapter 3 is the heart and the essence of the book. And of all the verses that could symbolize the essence of the book, in other words, the heartbeat of the entire book is in chapter 3, verse 22 to 24 and right up to 26 onwards. He says, though the Lord's mercies, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. It's the central heartbeat of this book. So we see the heart of God in this book and different aspects of God that we will be able to understand more of God through this book. It is like God opening His coat to show us His inner being, His heart. In the book of Lamentations chapter 1, we see, I'll give you the general theme, we see as we outline. There are many outlines that people will give you as you refer to commentaries. But we are doing what we call the revelational outline, which is the essence of the revelation in that chapter. In chapter 1, we will see that God reveals Himself as the God of righteousness. The God of righteousness. Where Jeremiah declares in verse 18, the Lord is righteous. God is righteous, the God of righteousness. In chapter 2, God is revealed as the God of His Word. To know God, you must know His Word. God and His Word are inseparable. That is in chapter 2. And then we look at some examples of the verses that is in chapter 2. We see in chapter 2 verse 9, says, her gates are sunk into the ground, he has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets find no vision from the Lord. Verse 17, the Lord has done what he purposed, he has fulfilled his word. So he is the God of the word. In chapter 3, none else than God is love. The God of love. Which we read, the central heartbeat of God. And in chapter 5, the theme is about gold. Gold always symbolizes divinity, the God of holiness. The God of holiness, the God of purity. Chapter 5 is the God of eternity. After all those things that happen, he declares in chapter 5, you, O God, are on the throne. From generation to generation, he tells us, forever. The God of eternity. The God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we see in these five beautiful poems of lamentation, as Jeremiah weeps his heart out to God, he reveals the heart of God. And he reveals areas that we can understand more about God in this book. Now I realize that the flow of the Spirit is a bit different tonight. Sounds a bit serious. That's because it's a very sad book. I find it difficult to preach a sad book with a white face. It's easier to preach it with a longer face and to express that book. But Lamentations has its beauty there. And you see in chapter 1, where it talks about the God of righteousness, that it talks about the suffering of the city. Look at the theme. I'll point to certain key words. You notice that it talks about Jerusalem completely being separated and there's no one to help her. Verse 3. She finds no rest. After all the verses, Judah has gone into captivity under afflictions and hard servitude. You find the phrase there in verse 3. She finds no rest. And you find in verse 4. Because no one comes to the set feast. No one. You find in verse 6, her princes have become like deer that find no pasture. No pasture. Then you find in verse 9, she had no comforter. And then in verse 17, there is no one to comfort her. And in verse 21, they have heard that I sigh with no one to comfort me. So there is an expression of being separated, like being isolated, being lost Why? It's because they have forsaken righteousness. And when all these things have happened, Jeremiah never once blamed God. In this entire book, there is a revelation that whatever happens, God is never responsible. It is always man who has sinned against God. You notice in chapter 1, verse 5, he acknowledged, her adversaries have become the master, her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgression. Her children had gone into captivity before the enemy. Look at verse 8. Jerusalem has sinned grievously. Verse 18. The Lord is righteous. See, the Lord is never wrong. He says the Lord is still righteous. That is a revelation. To be able to say, God, you are righteous. There are many people who never mature in their revelation of God. They judge God by circumstances. They don't judge God by who He is. And there are many who are blaming God. Say, God, why did you do this to me? God, why did you allow this? God, why did all these things happen? Now we realize that not everything that happened is because of personal sin. It would be wrong to say that. Not everything evil and destructive that happened is because of personal sin. It will be wrong. It will also not be right to say that everything that bad has happened is because of the sins of our fathers or our mothers, although there's an element of truth in that. There are some areas that are personal sin. There are some areas that are sins of our parents that we get affected. Like for example in chapter 5, verse 7 of Lamentation, our fathers sin and are no more, but we bear their iniquity. You see chapter 5, verse 7. And of course that is not true all the time, because Jesus told the disciples when they say, Lord, who sinned? This man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. But that the works of God may be manifest and heal the man. So we know that you cannot blame it all on the first two either. There is a third area of category which I would say to be original sin. The sin inherent in human nature, the inclination of sin that is there. Say, is there such a thing as an inclination? A drawing into sin. You will notice this in the book of Deuteronomy. We want to establish our theological base as we look at this book. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now God was about to see the most glorious manifestation of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel coming into being, being headed by Joshua, one of the best trained leaders possible after Moses. It was the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses was going to go home to be with God, and Joshua was going to take over and lead the Israelites into glory. Yet, in chapter 31, as God spoke to Moses, you know, He said something that showed His predestination. Now you begin to understand how foreknowledge and predestination work together. He says in verse 16, behold, He told Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 16,